President Ahmadinejad now addressing the UN General Assembly.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the
Merciful,
all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the universe, and peace and blessing be upon our Master and Prophet Muhammad and his pure household and his noble companions. O God, hasten the arrival of Imam al-Mahdi and grant him good health and victory, and make us his followers and those who attest to his rightfulness. President, dear colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, I thank Almighty God for granting me once again the opportunity to address this important international forum. I wish at the outset to begin by congratulating you for having assumed the presidency of the 64th session of the UN General Assembly, and wish every success in your efforts. I also extend my thanks to His Excellency Mr. Miguel Díaz-Coto, President of the 63rd session of the General Assembly, for his excellent stewardship and work during his term. Dear colleagues, over the past 4 years, I have spoken about the main challenges facing our world. I have discussed the roots and underlying causes of these challenges and the need for world powers to review their outlook and work out new mechanisms to address the pressing international problems before us. I have talked about the two conflicting outlooks prevailing in our world, one that is based on the dominance, predominance of its materialistic interests through spreading inequality and oppression, poverty and deprivation, aggression, occupation and deception, and tends to bring the entire world under its control and impose its will on other nations. This outlook has produced nothing but frustration, disappointment, and a dark future for the entire humanity. The other outlook is the one that espouses with the belief in the oneness of the Almighty God, follows the teaching of His messengers, respects human dignity, and seeks to build a secure world for all members of the human community, in which everybody can equally enjoy the blessings of sustainable peace and spirituality. This latter is an outlook that respects all human beings, nations, and valuable cultures in defiance of all types of discrimination in the world, and commits itself into a constant fight to promote equality for all before the law on the basis of justice and fraternity, laying a solid foundation to guarantee equal access for all human beings in their quest to excel in knowledge and in science. I have laid emphasis time and again on the need to make fundamental changes in the current outlook on the world and mankind in order to be able to create a brighter tomorrow. Friends and colleagues, today I wish to share with you a few points about the changes that should take place. First, clearly, the continuation of the current circumstances in the world is impossible. Current inequitable and unfavorable conditions run counter to the very nature of humankind and move in a direction which contravenes the truth and the goal behind the creation of the world. It is no longer possible to inject thousands of billions of dollars of unreal wealth to the world economy simply by printing worthless paper assets or transferring inflation as well as social and economic problems to others through creating severe budget deficits. The engine of unbridled capitalism, with its unfair system of thought, has reached the end of the road and is unable to move. The era of capitalist thinking and the imposition of one's thoughts on the international community, intended to dominate the world in the name of globalization and the age of setting up empires, is over. It is no longer possible to humiliate nations and impose double standards on the world community. It is necessary to delegitimize and reject any approach which views the realization of the interests of certain powers as the only measurement of democracy and uses despicable forms of intimidation and deceit in the name of freedom or democratic practice, and approaches that allow dictators to be portrayed as democrats, lack legitimacy, and should be rejected. The time has come to an end for those who define democracy and freedom and set standards, while they themselves are the first who violate its fundamental principles. They can no longer be both, in fact, the judge and the executor, and challenge real democratically established governments. So I'd like to say again that the time has passed for a group of people to believe that they alone can define concepts such as democracy and freedom and hold up the criteria for these definitions while simultaneously violating the very principles to which they aspire. Governments can continue which are based on the rule of people. The awakening of nations and the expansion of freedom worldwide will no longer allow others to continue their hypocrisy and vicious attitudes. Because of these reasons, most nations, including the people of the United States, are waiting for real and profound changes. They have welcomed and will continue to welcome changes. How can one imagine that the inhuman policies in Palestine may continue to force the entire population of a country out of their homeland for more than 60 years by resorting to force and coercion to attack them with all types of arms and at times even prohibited weapons, to deny them their legitimate right to self-defense, while much to the surprise of the international community, calling the occupiers peace lovers and portraying victims as terrorists. How can the crimes of the occupiers against defenseless women and children and destruction of their homes, farms, hospitals, and schools be supported unconditionally by certain governments, and at the same time the oppressed men and women be subjected to the heaviest economic blockade, which denies their basic needs, food, water, and medicine, and leads to genocide. They are not allowed to rebuild their homes even, which were destroyed during the 22-day barbaric attacks carried out by the Zionist regime as winter was approaching, whereas the aggressors and their supporters deceitfully continued their rhetoric in defense of human rights in order to put others under pressure. It is unacceptable that a small minority should dominate the politics, economy, and culture of vast parts of the world through a complicated network and establish a new form, in fact, of slavery and harm the reputation of other nations, even European nations and the United States, to attain its racist ambitions. It is not acceptable that some who are several thousands of kilometers away from the Middle East should send in troops for military intervention and for spreading war, bloodshed, aggression, terror, and intimidation in the Middle East, in our region, while blaming the protests of nations within the region that are concerned about their fate and their national security as a move against peace and as interference in others' affairs. Such perspectives are baffling. Look at the situation in Iraq and in Afghanistan. It is no longer possible to bring a country under military occupation in the name of fighting terrorism or drug trafficking while the production of illicit drugs has multiplied. Terrorism has widened its dimensions and has tightened its grips. Thousands of innocent people have been killed, injured, or displaced. Infrastructures have been destroyed, and regional security has been seriously jeopardized. And those who've created the current disastrous situation continue to blame others. How can you speak of friendship and solidarity with other nations while you expand your military bases in different parts of the world, including in Latin America? This situation cannot continue. It is all the more impossible to advance expansionist and inhuman policies on the basis of a militaristic logic. The logic of coercion and intimidation will produce dire consequences, exacerbating the present global problems. It is not acceptable that the military budget of some governments exceeds far larger those of the entire countries of the world. There are those who export billions of dollars of arms annually, stockpile chemical and biological weapons, as well as nuclear weapons, establish military bases or have military presence in other countries while accusing others of militarism and mobilize all their resources in the world to impede the scientific and technological progress of other nations under the pretext of countering arms proliferation. It is not acceptable that the United Nations and the Security Council, whose decisions should represent all nations and governments, through applying democratic measures of decision-making, popular methods of decision-making, be dominated by a few governments who seek to serve their own interests, principally in a world where cultures, ideas, and public opinion should be the only determining factors. The continuation of the present situation is impossible, and fundamental changes seem to be unavoidable. We seek to establish a new system, a new world system. Second, any change must be structural, theoretical, and practical, involving all domains of life. outdated mechanisms which themselves were instrumental in and the root cause for present problems in human societies can never be used to bring change and create our desired world. Liberalism and capitalism, especially of the nature that seeks to dominate the world and alienates human beings from heavenly and moral values, will never bring happiness for humanity because they are the main source of all misfortune, wars, poverty, and deprivation. We have all seen that the inequitable economic structures controlled by certain political interest groups were used to plunder national wealth of countries simply for the benefit of a group of corrupt businesses. Present structures, therefore, are incapable of reforming the challenges before us. The political and economic structures created after World War II that were based on intentions to dominate the world, in brief, failed to promote justice and lasting security. Rulers whose hearts do not beat for the love of humankind and who sacrifice the spirit of justice in their minds never can offer the promise of peace and friendship to humanity. By the grace of God, Marxism is gone. It is now history. And the unhindered expansion of capitalism, too, will certainly have the same fate. Because, based on the divine traditions referred to as a principle in the Holy Quran, the wrong is like the bubble on the surface of a water, and it will disappear. There remains only that which can be used forever towards the interests of human societies. We must therefore all remain vigilant to prevent the pursuit of colonialism and discriminatory and inhuman goals under the pretext of slogans for change or in any new format. The world needs to undergo fundamental changes, and all must engage collectively to make them happen in the right way. And through such efforts, no one and no government would consider itself an exception to change or superior to others and try to impose its will on others by proclaiming world leadership. Third, all problems that exist in our world today emanate from the fact that rulers have distanced themselves from human values, morality, and the teachings of divine messengers. Regrettably, in the current state of international relations, selfishness and insatiable greed have taken the place of such humanitarian concepts as love, sacrifice, dignity, and justice. The belief in the one God has been replaced with self-belief. Some have taken the place of God and insist to impose their values and wishes on others. Lies have taken the place of honesty. Hypocrisy has replaced integrity, and selfishness has taken the place of sacrifice. Deception in interactions is called foresight these days, and statesmanship. Looting the wealth of other nations is called development efforts. Occupation is introduced as a gift towards the promotion of freedom and democracy, and defenseless nations are subjected to repression in the name of defending human rights. Friends and colleagues, the resolution of global problems and the administration of justice and the maintenance of peace will only be materialized through collective determination and cooperation of all nations and states, the time to polarize the world on the premise of hegemony or domination of a few governments is over. Today, we must rise together through collective commitment against the present challenges. We must take change seriously and help others through collective work to return to basic moral and human values. Messengers were sent by God to show the light of the truth to mankind. They came to make people aware of their individual and social obligations. Piety, having faith in Allah and its judgment of human behavior in the next world, belief in the primacy of justice in both lives, seeking one's happiness, well-being, and security in the happiness, well-being, and security of others, respecting humankind, making efforts to expand love and compassion against hostility, were all on top of the teachings offered by the messengers of God, his divine messengers from Adam to Noah, from Noah to Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Christ, and the last prophet, Muhammad, may peace be upon all of them. All of them came to eliminate war and ignorance, to eradicate poverty and uproot discrimination in order to spread happiness in the entire world. They are the best gifts that God Almighty has granted to human beings. If the belief in intizar, or in other words, awaiting patiently for the justice to return to earth, will turn into a common goal, and we join hands to achieve prosperity for all, then there will be more real and increasing hope for reform. Fourth, in my opinion, we have several important agendas before us. The Secretary General and the United Nations General Assembly can take the lead by undertaking necessary measures for the fulfillment of our shared goals on the basis of the following. 1. Restructuring the United Nations in order to transform this world body to an efficient and fully democratic organization, capable of playing an impartial, equitable, and effective role in international relations. Reforming the structure of the Security Council, especially by abolishing the discriminatory privilege of the veto right, restoring the inalienable rights of the Palestinian people by organizing a referendum and free elections in Palestine in order to prepare a conducive environment for all Palestinians, including Muslims, Christians, and Jews, to live together in peace and harmony, putting an end to all types of interferences in the affairs of Iraq and Afghanistan, in the Middle East, and in all countries in Africa, Latin America, Asia, and Europe. My friends, as our great prophet said, a government may survive with blasphemy, but never with oppression. Oppression against Palestinians and the violation of their rights still continue. A new group of Palestinians who lived in Al-Quds al-Sharif were again forced out of their homes as the destruction of their residential homes continues by the occupiers and usurpers. Bombings in Afghanistan and Pakistan have not yet stopped, and the Guantanamo prison has not yet been shut down. And there are still secret prisons in Europe. The continuation of the present situation adds to hostilities and violence. Oppression and military aggression must be stopped. Regrettably, official reports concerning the brutalities of the Zionist regime in Gaza have not all been published. The Secretary General and the United Nations have crucial responsibilities in this respect, and the international community is impatiently waiting for the punishment of the aggressors and the murderers of the defenseless people of Gaza. 2. Reforming the current economic structures and setting up a new international economic order based on human and moral values and obligations. A new course is needed, in fact, that would help promote justice and progress worldwide by flourishing the potentials and talents of all nations, thus bringing well-being for all and for future generations. 3. Reforming the international political relations based on the promotion of lasting peace and friendship, eradication of arms race and elimination of all nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons to pave the way for all nations to have access to advanced and peaceful technologies for the advancement of human beings. 4. Reforming cultural structures, respect for diverse customs and traditions of all nations, fostering moral values and spirituality aimed at strengthening the institution of a warm family, which is the backbone of all human societies. 5. Worldwide efforts to protect the environment and full observance of the international agreements and arrangements to prevent the annihilation of nature's non-renewable resources. 5. Our nation has successfully gone through a glorious and fully democratic election, opening a new chapter for our country in the march towards national progress and enhanced international interactions. They entrusted me once more with a large majority with this heavy responsibility. And now I want to declare that our great nation that has made great contributions to world civilization and the Islamic Republic of Iran as one of the most democratic and progressive governments in the world is ready to mobilize all its cultural, political, and economic capabilities to engage in a constructive process aimed at addressing international concerns and challenges and confronting the challenges that face human society. Our country that builds cultures has been a main victim of terrorism itself, blind form of terrorism, and the target of an all-out military aggression during the first decade of its revolution. All through the past 30 years, we have been subject to hostile attitudes of those who once supported with all their might Saddam's military aggression and his use of chemical weapons against us, and then decided another day in time to take military action in Iraq to get rid of the same man. Today, our nation seeks to create a world in which justice and compassion prevail. We announce our commitment to participate in the process of building durable peace and security worldwide for all nations based on justice, spirituality, and human dignity, while being dedicated to strongly defending our legitimate and legal rights. To materialize these goals, our nation is prepared to warmly shake all those hands which are honestly extended to us. No nation can claim to be free from the need to change and reform in this journey towards perfectness. We welcome real and humane changes and stand ready to actively engage in fundamental global reforms. Therefore, we emphasize that the only path to remain safe is to return to monotheism and justice, and this is the greatest hope and opportunity in all ages and generations. Without belief in God and commitment to the cause of justice and fight against injustice and discrimination, the world structure will not be corrected. Man is at the center of the universe. The man's unique feature is his humanity, the same feature which seeks justice, piety, love, knowledge, awareness, and all other high values. These human values should be supported, and each and every fellow human should be given the opportunity to acquire them. Neglecting any of them is tantamount to the omission of a constituting piece of humanity. These are common elements which connect all human communities and constitute the basis of peace, security, and friendship. Divine religions pay attention to all aspects of human life, including obedience to God, morality, justice, fighting oppression, and endeavor to establish just and good governance. The Prophet Abraham called for the oneness of God against Nimrod, as Prophet Moses did the same against the Pharaohs, and Jesus Christ and the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon them all, did against the oppressors of their own time. They were all threatened to death and were forced out of their homelands. Without resistance and objection, the injustices would not be removed from the face of earth. And the last point that I'd like to make, dear friends and colleagues, the world is in a continuous state of change and evolution. The promised destiny for mankind is the establishment of humane, pure life, and this will come when justice is pervasive across the globe and every single human being will enjoy respect and dignity. That will be the time when mankind's path to moral and spiritual perfectness will be opened and his journey to God and the manifestation of God's divine names will come true. Mankind should excel to represent God's knowledge and wisdom, his compassion and benevolence, his justice and fairness, his power and art, and his kindness and forgiveness. These will all come true under the rule of the perfect man, the last divine source on earth, Hazrat Mahdi, peace be upon him, an offspring of the Prophet of Islam, who will re-engage, and Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and other noble men will and pious men will accompany him in the accomplishment of this grand universal mission. And this is the belief in intizar, awaiting patiently for the Imam to return, waiting with patience for the rule of goodness and the governance of the best, which he promises, which is a universal human notion and which is a source of nations' hope for the betterment of the world. They will come, and with the help of righteous people and true believers will materialize man's long-standing desire for freedom, perfectness, maturity, and security, and tranquility, peace, and beauty. They will come to put an end to war and aggression and present the entire knowledge to the world as well as spirituality and friendship to the whole world. Yes, indeed, the bright future for mankind will come. Friends, dear friends, in waiting for that brilliant time to come and in a collective commitment, let us make due contributions in paving the way and preparing the conditions for building that bright future. Long live love and spirituality. Long live peace and security. Long live justice and freedom. I thank you all.
The Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad addressing the UN General Assembly.